Welcome, everyone. I see we have some new faces, and I'm very pleased that we can all be together this evening. Wow, I don't know about y'all, but as I say, the energy's been cranking. Anybody else been having that experience? A little cranking of the energy. Up, up, and away, and in, deeper, 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 which is a very beautiful thing. So I want to acknowledge that and all of us being together, because where two or more are gathered, the energy is multiplied 10,000 times, 10,000 times, which means exponentially we've already gone into the infinite. And that's just where two or more are gathered. Okay? So with this group here, as I talk about often, if everybody in this room just gave thanks unceasingly every day, we would change the world. That's how fast it would happen. But for most people, their lives are very important. And so to add this to it sometimes means that we have to use our spiritual muscle, build it so that it's strong enough that as we go through our day, we don't forget while we're involved in the world outside that the world inside is the place where the action really is happening. A couple of people have told me about what I call infillings of energy. And when these happen, it's a wonderful thing. And you can call for energy to come through you gently so that it doesn't, the first time, oh, here comes someone. Oh, it's our beloved. Oh, she's here. Hey, sweetie, come on in. So y'all just scoot out just a little bit more. This is the choreography of this evening, is the scoot out. Yeah. And if you need Kleenex, they're right here.
I've been telling you, I didn't get it.
Get the Kleenex, get the Banky. And I want to acknowledge that we're not supposed to have candles in this room. And my beloved and wonderful friend Donna gave me this candle. And what you do is, it's battery run. Wow. Is this just the cutest thing in the whole wide world? Thank you, God. No, it's battery run. So I'm going to turn the battery off. Okay. Now, in esoteric teachings, I would make these calls. I call now for the light of the divine to be formed into this flame. And I call for this flame now to hold the energy of love as we gather together. Thank you. And when I used to teach at the Summerlin House, you know, I'd make the call and I'd light the real candle, you know? And Donna put it down, I guess when I was doing something else, giving somebody a hug, and I turned around and here's this candle, which looks absolutely fantastically real.
Amazing.
She got it at Home Depot, right? So everybody rushed to Home Depot.
Home Improvement.
Oh, Home Improvement. Sorry, Home Improvement. So, just want to acknowledge technology, batteries. Somebody had to think about this. And say, now how could I make that happen? And make it look so real. Yes. Look at that. Isn't that phenomenal? So, I just give great blessings for us being in physical form, you know? I hope everyone's having a really good time in their physical form. Because each of us agreed that we would embody at this time. Okay? And guess what? We all ended up in this room. Now, is that a miracle? That's a miracle. And I'd like to go around the room, and if you'll tell me the place where you were born.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Spokane, Washington.
Glendale, California. Oakland, California. Los Angeles. Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara. Denver, Colorado. Salt Lake City, Utah. Omaha, Nebraska. Santa Monica, California.
Gary, Indiana. Grand Rapids, Falls, Toledo, Ohio.
Milford, Connecticut.
Hey.
Santa Barbara. Los Angeles.
Streeter, Illinois.
Calcutta, India.
Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Now, what does it take? You know what the divine had to do? You know the choreography that it took to get everybody in this room? I mean, it just blows my mind. I say, how did you just do that? And it's because we all have a resonating vibration. And we find the individuals in our world where the vibration is complementary and where everything is an opening of the heart when you're with that individual. Now, I have been with intellectuals, and when it's two heads talking, that's fine. But until the heart is involved, it seems to me like it's sort of dry, like sawdust, you know? But you can be intellectually communicating, and when the heart is open, then it's very rich and moist and yummy, and, you know, there's a flavor to that level of consciousness when we're able to be who we really are with the people in our world. And many of us have learned how to be different in different situations in our lives, have we not? Everybody nod your head up and down, because this is the truth. We've all learned in one situation there's a certain level of energy that is both expected and required. Then there's another expected and required. Then we begin to have experiences with people where there's no expectation and no requirement. And it's the first time I ever experienced that, I didn't know what to do. I said, how am I supposed to show up here, right? Because we were just showing up as we really were, just fully. And these were dancers, of course, and so all of us were pretty out there anyway. And then when people began, these dancers began to tell their stories, we realized that we all had a common thread, which was we had to leave our family to become dancers. And some were disowned. Some were told, never darken our doors again if you do this. And I was blessed that my father, having grown up in rural Alabama, they have a saying there that the latch string is always on the door, which means that latch string holds the bar that closes the door on the inside, and it goes through a little hole, and here's the string. And when you pull that string, it, as a cantilever, it will lift the bar, and then the door will open. So that was his way of saying, you're welcome to come home anytime you want to come home. And this was huge for him to be able to say that. So I honor that the latch string is on this door. And every door that we enter into, if we remember that we're really moving in heart and soul into whatever room we come into. If you walk into a room and you're not present in heart and soul, then what are you doing in that room? So it's a reminder to us that we can enter any space and be with anyone, and from that heart and soul, everything will move in divine order. So this evening, I want to speak about divine order. This was one of the beautiful teachings that the divine gave me, that divine order is always in place. Divine order is always in place. And as I have been reading these poems, there are two mystics who address this very beautifully, and I would like to read three of them for you. The first is Catherine of Siena, St. Catherine, who is 1347 to 1380, and she had a very deep and beautiful relationship with Jesus, who appeared to her many times, and she gave her life to help those who were less fortunate, who were ill, who were dying, and so on and so forth. I talk about it sometimes with God, all the suffering in the world. Dear God, I have prayed, how is it possible, all the horrors I have seen? That's all right, let's get a chair. I'll start again. Y'all are getting real good at this. We're talking about divine order, and divine order is always in place. I talk about it sometimes with God, all the suffering in the world. Dear God, I have prayed, how is it possible, all the horrors I have seen, all the atrocities you allow man to commit when you, God, are ever standing so near and could help us? Could we not hear your voice say, no, with such love and power, never again would we harm? And God replied, who would understand if I said that I cannot bear to confine a wing and not let it learn from the course it chooses? But what of a man walking lost in a forest weeping and calling your name for help. And unknown to him, he is heading for a covered pit with sharp spears in it that will maim his flesh when he crashes through the trap. Yes, why don't I remove every object from this world that could cause someone to weep? Yes, why don't I speak in a way that could save a life? I opened my hand, and the infinite ran to the edges of space, and all possibilities are contained therein. All possibilities, even sorrow. In the end, nothing that ever caused one pain will exist. No one will begrudge me. The absolute innocence of all within my creation takes a while to understand. And this is also Catherine, Saint Catherine. Wisdom is so kind and wise that wherever you look, you can learn something about God. Why would not the omnipresent teach that way? Let me repeat that. Wisdom is so kind and wise that wherever you may look, you can learn something about God. Why would not the omnipresent teach that way? And this is St. John of the Cross, and his time was 1542 to 1591. He had a very, very difficult life, but he came to know the greatness of his being. I once said to God, "How do you teach us?" And God replied, "If you were playing chess with someone who had infinite power and infinite knowledge and wanted to make you a master of the game, where would all the chess pieces be at every moment? Indeed, not only where he wanted them, but where all were best for your development, and that is every situation in one's life." I'll repeat this last part again because it's very telling. "Indeed, not only where he wanted them, but where all were best for your development, and that is every situation in one's life." Now, these are perfect descriptions of divine order. Absolutely incredible. This is nothing new. It's just that we're living in a time where many of the experiences we have, we say, this can't be in divine order. Because some of them just feel really difficult. And yet, for us to be able to live and accept that every situation is going to teach us something, if we will be the apt and willing student. And often, there are individuals who say, "I don't want to learn this." Okay? And that's perfectly okay. You can say, "No, I'm not going to learn this one this time." You'll come back and have another opportunity. As for me, when they come up, if they're gnarly, you know those gnarly ones? Okay. When they come up, you get to say, "Aha, so this is one I have to really pay attention and be as lovingly present as I possibly can so that I can embrace whatever this is." And often, it is the very thing that will allow us to not only expand our consciousness and open our hearts, but it will allow perhaps a part of our ego to fall away. Because who resists? The ego. Who says, "I don't want to learn it"? The ego. Who says, "I don't have time to do that"? The ego. That's the part of us that says, "You know, if it doesn't suit me, I'm not going to be doing it." No. Our souls are continually saying, "Darlings, here's the opportunity of a lifetime." This may be the very moment, the very thing that we have been waiting to bring into a whole new level of consciousness within us. And often it is disguised in a way that we would not recognize that this is an extraordinary moment in our lives. Extraordinary moment. And we've all had them, else you wouldn't be sitting in this room, right? This is what brings us into that deep place within ourselves that says, I'm ready for the next awareness, the next unfoldment, the next peeling of this onion skin of energy that we want to release and let go of. The first time the divine showed me this onion, and the most onions, you know, the outside skins are kind of gnarly and dried up, not very interesting. Well, that's the stuff we work on. The imprinting, negative and positive, that we get in our childhood. And little by little, we begin to peel. And the more you peel, have you noticed? It becomes so beautiful, iridescent almost. And instead of it being big, gnarly leaves, the onion skins become less and less gnarly and more refined. And then they become smaller and smaller until finally you're right at the heart of it. Mm-hmm. And it's very small. And it's just so beautiful to look at. And it doesn't really smell very terrible either. Mm-hmm. And you get to look at this and say, ah, so now I have peeled away and peeled away and peeled away because divine order has brought me those exquisite messages and exquisite opportunities and exquisite people, moments that we can be fully present and love. Even if the moment before, the ego said, I see it coming. Here it comes. I really don't know if I want. You know what we do. We kind of back up. We say tomorrow or next lifetime or whatever we say. But the truth is to embrace what comes. To embrace what comes. And often when we are open to say yes, which I think is one of the most powerful words in the whole English language, yes, I am ready. Now, if you decide that you're not ready, you've gone as far as you're going to go in this embodiment, that's perfectly okay. You don't have to do one more thing. You can just carry on until you pass. That's perfectly all right. No problem with that at all. But, and if you have a soul agreement that this embodiment is going to be about moving energetically and awakening more and more fully to the truth of your being, then why would you say no? I want a great big yes right here, and a great big yes right here, right? I want the divine to bring to me everything that perhaps in several past lives I said no to. Am I ready to say yes? Am I ready to say yes? And whatever that takes. When, as I have described to some of you, when five of my dearest friends were dying, and I said to the divine, I don't know if I can do this. And the divine said, I will help you do this, to be with each and every one as they pass. And I honor that that was a yes that came with a few little conditions. One of them being, I can't be alone to do this. I want to have other beings that I love, other human beings that I love, accompany me on this journey, because this is a big journey. And so it was that I had individuals, and Michelle was one of them, who accompanied we together with other people in these passings. Now that was huge. And that included my mother and then my father. So it was an energy that was moving in my life in such a way that it opened all the parts of me that said, am I ready to do this? And the answer was yes. And I have trust and faith to be able to do that which is asked of me. Now, how did I get that trust and faith? I didn't start off with that. It was part of my soul agreement that I would have trust and faith, but then how would I draw it forth when the moment came? How would I know that that trust and faith within me could meet this given situation? Only when the moment came did I know that it was yes, and that I had within me that which I needed to be able to stand and do whatever was asked of me, to do and be whatever I was asked to be in any given situation throughout my entire life. And as some of you know, I've had some pretty amazing things happen where just out of the blue, things would unfold and I would go, phew. When I saw the truth of this experience, then I realized that I no longer had fear. Fear is the withholding of love from yourself or another. Fear is the withholding of love from yourself or another. And the reason that we have prejudice, the reason that we separate ourselves from others, the reason that we have many of the ego energies we have is because of fear. And we received the imprinting of that fear in our childhood. We were told, this you will be afraid of, this is okay. Oh, but I forgot to mention, this and this and this and this, y'all got to be afraid of all that. And this over here, oh, this and this, yes, that's okay, but this over here is kind of gray. You might have to figure out if you want to be fearful there or not. You all know this, yes. And what we do is we mature in our spiritual consciousness is we decide, will I have fear? Will I withhold my love? And to what extent will I withhold it? Or will I simply say, I will not withhold my love? Now, for many of us, I can only speak for myself. I grew up in a time where there was much derision, much hate, much fear, and it was going on in the South, and it was all around segregation and integration. And I bless my father. He had grown up in rural Alabama and had an experience with a black population there that was totally different than what we were experiencing in Atlanta, Georgia. And he grew, and he changed, and I watched that. And he was able to go from having a very powerful prejudice to simply letting it go. And I was in awe of this man, that he was able to do this. Because the deep, deep energies that he had would not have allowed for any love, only fear. And so, having watched this transformation, I realized that he had released that ancient patterning, that imprinting that he had received culturally and in his family that was probably generational. And he was able to move beyond it and then to share with us that he had moved beyond it. So, in that spirit of fearlessness, if each of us were to look at something in our childhood that we were afraid of, there's always a boogeyman under my bed. Mm-hmm. Honey, I used to jump in the bed. I said, I can't put my feet right there. Anybody else do that? Yeah. Okay, I'm so glad I'm not the only person on the planet. And I'd go, okay, now, where did I learn about a boogeyman under the bed? I do not know. But I knew that I had to take a big leap because he might grab me. And it'd be terrible if I ended up under the bed for some reason. Okay. Now, I laugh about it now, but that was fear. And I was withholding love from myself because the fear was so great. You know, this was it. And then we began to transfer the boogeyman, at least in my culture when I was growing up, to other people. Just a little transference there. And then I had to say, come back, come back, come back. That's not how it works. And one of the great joys in my life, and my parents were present, I was dancing with the Alan Nikolai Dance Theater Company, and we were on Broadway. And I was to do a dance with a wonderful black dancer. And I thought to myself, okay, my mom and my dad are sitting in the audience, and I'm going to be doing this very beautiful duet, not sexual, but of course, when males and females are dancing, that's what it looks like. And so, after the concert was over with, and it was a great success, and I walked up to my mom and dad, and I'd already prepared myself. I said, whatever he says, keep my heart open. It's going to be all right, Mary. And my mother said, oh, Mary, it was so wonderful, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. I said, okay. And I thought, well, maybe Dad just won't say anything. He'll just, that'll be it. And he turned to me and he said, I want you to know that you as dancers have great physical ability. And I said, thank you, Dad. What a great compliment. And of course, he had been a great athlete, so this was really, I mean, you know, he was really speaking from his heart. And he couldn't say anything about what actually happened on stage, but that was perfectly all right. He had moved to the place where he could even accept that which I had become, which was an artist who did not have any beliefs or boundaries that would keep me from not being the truth of my being. So, when I say that divine order is always in place, always, in every single moment of our lives, the divine is always creating the potential for our greatest awakening, our greatest growth, our greatest love. And everything, like the chess player, all the chess pieces are there for us to learn by. These are the moments in our lives. And most of us say, I like some of it, but not all of it. Well, the part that you don't love is the part you've really got to get in touch with, because that's the thing that will bring you to the greater and greater level of illumination. Now, at first, in my spiritual unfoldment, I would have experiences that I was unable to explain. And I had trust and faith in those experiences. And some of you have communicated with me that you too are having experiences. You're having inpourings of energy. You're having other levels of energy entering into you. And on some level, you have to ask for that. You have asked for it, even if it hasn't been at the level of conscious mind. Maybe it was just heartfelt, that you really wanted to feel here in your physical body the realization of this kind of energy. Now, I could, as I've said to you, I could just sit here and read the phone book and you'd get the energy, folks. It doesn't make any difference. I just happen to love to talk about the things that are of the divine. And while I'm speaking, this download of energy is happening all the time. And every cell in your body is going, it's vibrating. They're always vibrating. But as the energy comes in, that vibration is very specific. It's a very specific vibration that's occurring. The first time I'm in a kitchen, and I in a home that I had at one time, I was married, my practice marriage, and I didn't cook, but I was standing in my kitchen, okay? Standing in my kitchen, and suddenly this energy goes whoosh, down through my crown chakra, down through my body, and I am on the floor. It just knocks me on the floor, and I'm going, uh-oh. Something is happening here, and this is going to make me very nervous in a minute. And I just had to lie there because I couldn't move. And then, quietly, it began to subside. But it had come so powerfully in and through me and down through, literally all through my body and down through the soles of my feet, knocked me down on the floor, and I went, okay, I could do this. So I got myself back together, climbed up, stood up, and said, okay, so this is the beginning. This was like an initiatory energy field. And because I have a good, strong body, my body can take a lot of energy. And this was the first of many, 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 many times of the energy coming through. And eventually I said, you know what? I don't need to be knocked to the floor. So if we could just, you know, bring it down just a teens and just let it come on in. A teens is a word for teeny weeny tiny, you know, in Southern. I'm speaking Southern now. Okay, a teens. I said, knock it down to a teens and let me just be able to handle it. And so it is. So now, right now my hands are tingling. The energy's going up my arms because I'm talking about it. You see, oh, y'all are so funny. Okay, up through my crown chakra. And now it's very tingling on the very top of my head where your crown chakra is. There's a channel of light that goes from your crown chakra down to your base chakra, which is your zits bone that you sit on, goes right down into that. Now it's going down my legs and into the soles of my feet. One of the reasons I have you sit with your soles of the feet on the floor is so that these energies, as they come through, can anchor. Because if you're sitting any old witch away, it's not going to have a full circuitry. You have to have a full circuitry while you're working the energy. And it can be your palms up or down, whatever feels comfortable. But as you are working the energy, as you're feeling that flow coming through you, just allow it to explore and be in you however you choose. This channel of light of which I speak is part of what I talked about when you connect with the heart of Mother Earth. Now, the heart of the divine, to me, is the all in all, the sacrosanct, the holy of holies. And it is here within the cosmic consciousness of all that is. It is here within our hearts, and it is within the heart of Mother Earth. So when I ask for this energy to come from the heart of the divine, the heart of God, down through our crown chakra at the top of our head, this channel of light goes parallel to our spinal column. It comes down through that channel of light. Then it will turn into two levels of energy, two flow of energy, go down your feet, and then down into the heart of Mother Earth. Now you can imagine the heart of Mother Earth however you choose to do that. I simply see the energy flowing through the magma down into that absolute fire of consciousness that is within Mother Earth, and that's the fire that's in our heart and within the heart of God. The energy flows down to that heart within the divine that is called Earth, and then it draws up from that moment back through our legs, up into this channel of light, back through the crown chakra, and then into the heart of God. Now, if you would like, every day, you can draw that energy down and just visualize the energy. And it can be any color you want it to be. It can be rainbow or gold or white, anything, magenta, you name it. It doesn't make any difference. What you're doing is calling the energy and visualizing it as it flows, and as I'm doing it, and it goes down and into the heart of Mother Earth, and then I feel, quite literally, I feel the pulsation of the heart of the mother coming up through my feet, up through my legs, through the channel of light, back up through my crown chakra, and into the heart of the divine. Now, as I do this, it is so that I may hold a vibration of consciousness throughout my day. So whatever is going on in my day, I'm not doing what I'm doing in my day separate from the consciousness that is the divine within me. It's all one in the same. It's all one in the same. So it doesn't make any difference if I'm brushing my teeth, or if I'm going for a walk, or if I'm feeding the dog. I'm doing it all with that same level of consciousness. And this physical body has a capacity of immeasurable energy. And most of us tap into just the smallest amount of it, because no one has ever said, you are the font. The wellspring of the divine flows through you unceasingly as long as you're on the earth plane. Now, you don't have to do any of this. You can just go right along in your life and just be fine. Or you can say, I think that might be fun to just try that out, see what happens. And it may surprise you. You know, I have no idea. Everybody will have a different experience because we all have a different level of vibration. And some of you may have soul agreements where you're just going to go full on. And others may have a soul agreement that's just a little teens here and a little teens there. That'll do just fine. All right? Whatever it is. And it takes practice because you're doing what? Building that spiritual muscle. That's why I encourage you to have a spiritual practice every day, whatever you want it to be. It can be prayer, meditation, it can be anything. It can just be breathing. You just say, I'm just going to focus on my breathing, and as Thich Nhat Hanh would say, you're going to be mindful of your breathing, and you just breathe in, and then you just breathe out. Now, the key is here. As you breathe in, there's that sacred moment before you breathe out. And someone once said to me, so I've been taught to do all these different kinds of breathing, you know, I breathe through this, and then I breathe left, and then so on. And I said, I just think that's fine. But the divine said to me, do thusly, breathe in, breathe out. And I said, oh my goodness, I believe I could do that. I like things to be simple, folks. I do not. I mean, the divine is utter simplicity. Nothing complicated about it. Okay, so then I said, well, because I love imagery, could I have an image? And the divine said, of course. You breathe in the mother, you breathe out the father. So the divine mother comes in with the breath, and the divine father out with the breath. Then I said, tell me about the divine mother and the divine father. And I was told, and this is all symbolic, and I'm a mystic. So if your brain says, she is just totally cuckoo, it's perfectly all right with me, all right? The divine said, you're going to breathe in the divine mother, and the divine mother is the womb of all creation awaiting expression. Isn't that beautiful? With every breath, we enter into the womb of all creation awaiting expression. And the out-breath, the divine father, is creation expressing itself on the earth plane. So in-breath, into that which is awaiting creation, and the out-breath is the expression of that creation. And all you're doing is... So you see, everything has a much larger scope of consciousness, but the simplicity of breath is so beautiful. And sometimes, I don't know about y'all, Donna and I love to go to movies, and we'll be going like, holding on to each other because something is happening. We're having a big out breath, you know? And then there'll be that suspenseful moment, and we'll be going, and you know, you're just holding your breath to see what's going to happen because you don't know what's going to happen because the next thing you know, it's going to happen, all right? There's that wonderful consciousness about just the breath. And those of you who sing, oh, I just love it when people sing because it means that the voice is carrying the out-breath of creation, and the in-breath must come before the voice can perform the out-breath. And at the performance that we had Christmas time, and I had said to one of our great singers who's sitting here this evening, she said, you know, we're really learning to listen to each other. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if you, with each breath, could listen to the divine, which you are, just each breath. So, when you go home tonight, if you want to, and I do this, I get under the bed that I love, pull the covers up, I love to put my hands on my heart, and I go, I'm just going to breathe now. The mother, the father. The mother, the father. And the next thing I know, I'm in dream world. And then the next thing I know, my eyes are open. And I've had a new birth. So in allowing ourselves to honor this extraordinary capacity that we have to fill ourselves not only with pure spirit, because every breath you take, that's pure spirit that's happening, regardless of whatever the odor might be that you're inhaling or exhaling. Doesn't make any difference. It is the very act of that wonderful expression of who we are as the divine. And in the dance, and also when I would choreograph for these ice skaters and gymnasts and dancers and so on, they would be doing these lovely things, you know? And I'd say, so what is the breath? Silence. And I'd say, there's got to be breath. Show me the breath of that movement. And for them it was very hard because they had only associated themselves with the movement, but not with the breath. And often when I would work with athletes, they would hold their breath while they were skating or doing gymnastics. They would hold their breath. And I would say, You are never going to be a world champion until you can breathe everything and know exactly when the in-breath occurs and when the out-breath occurs. And I would say to them, all right, so you're getting ready for a triple axel, which is a very, and now they're doing quadruples, which is a very big jump. You go off on one leg, you have three revolutions in the air, and you land on one leg, and the back leg is out, and you have the leg down here supporting you. And it has to be in perfect rotation. And they'd all go, they're stroking. Stroke, 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 breath. Right? How are you ever going to be a champion and do that? You're exhausted. And you have to do a lot of them now because they've changed the rules. So I would say every time you're stroking toward it, you already have to choreograph the level of breath that you want. Is it left, right, breath? Left, right, breath? What is the rhythm of your breath as you stroke? Then when you go up in the air, you are going to go, but as you are landing, you want to go so that everything in your body goes into extension. You're fully extended and you're on the exhale. And then you have the inhale as you move into whatever the next thing is that you're going to do. The breath is so powerful. And for those of you who've done rebirthing, how many people have done rebirthing in here? A bunch of folks, yeah. If you've done rebirthing, all right, you do a bunch of breathing. It's very important. And when we are in the divine awareness, even in meditation, there is that place where I can only experience it for myself, express what I experience myself, which is the breath becomes part of the meditation. I am not focusing on the breathing. It is one with where the energy is moving through me. So I am not conscious of it any longer. I'm not conscious of anything that's going on other than the energy moving through me. Okay? And that's when I know everything is lined up. If I am distracted or anything is moving on or moving in my body in a particular way, then I'll say, okay, I need to quiet all of that and then come back into that alignment. And most of us, as we go through our lives, if we even have a few moments of that in the morning, it will set the tone of the day. The tone of the day. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody has a tone that they resonate with, and I call it the tone of the soul. And when you align in the morning with whatever your spiritual practice happens to be, you're aligning to that tone. And you can feel when everything is in alignment. You go, ah, there, I'm at the tone. I've hit the tone now. And as I go in the day, that tone doesn't disappear. It's just there. It's like the beat of my heart. I know that the beat of my heart is also in alignment with the tone of all that I am. And when I move around in the world, that tone which I am is resonating with the tone of everything else that's out there. The music of the spheres isn't just out there somewhere. The music of the spheres is all of us. I mean, I don't know if y'all have gone on YouTube and listened to the sound of your blood rushing and your breath. And have they all done that? Oh, do. Go and listen. It's fabulous to hear what your blood sounds like when it's doodling around and doing its thing. It's fantastic. And you go, you know, I'm a river of energy that's moving, and I don't even have to think about it. My heart is doing a fabulous job. My lungs are doing a fabulous job. Every cell in the body knows exactly what it's doing. And the knee cell is connected to the hip cell, it's connected to the elbow cell, it's connected to the shoulder cell. Honey, they all know what's cooking. And they all do it magnificently. And my liver does not say, gosh, you know, I'm just tired of being a liver. I don't want to be a liver. I'd like to be one of those kidneys over there. They seem to be having a really good time, and I'm working so hard. And they look like they're having a really good time. And one of the lungs might say, listen, I got the really neat job, because I'm right next to this heart that's going, thub, 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 thub. Consciousness. This is consciousness, and it's alive, and it's vigorous, and happy, and joyful, and we have to take really good care of it. Now, if divine order is always in place, it means that every single particle that we are is in the divine order of perfection. If it weren't perfect, the divine would be giving us some other looks, some other feels, some other arms or hands or whatever. But the evolution of humanity at this moment looks like this. And it's a miracle. I mean, look at the evolution. We started, as I talked about last week, as this primordial ooze. You know primordial ooze? We still have it, folks. Right in here. It just happens to have a form. But this is that primordial ooze. And then there was a bolt of lightning that went into the primordial ooze. And that electrical impulse went. And cell division began. I studied pre-med. I thought if I couldn't make it as a dancer, I'd be a doctor. And when I learned about the magnificence of the body, I went, and this is a Southern saying, holy shimoli. Holy shimoli. I just couldn't believe how fabulous it was that we are in these bodies and how magnificent they are. Now, I praise my body. How many people say thank you to their body every day? Raise your hand. Even if you didn't, raise your hand anyway. Because that means maybe before you go to bed tonight, you will. I thank my body. I say, thank you, body. What a day we've had. And you haven't let me down. You've walked when I wanted to walk. You sit when you want to sit. You think the thoughts I need to think. The eyes work perfectly. Everything is cooking. This is amazing. And I go to bed at night, and I get in my most wonderful, loving bed, and I go, thank you. And my body is regenerating itself, and I don't have to do one thing. Just sleep well, wake up, and begin again. Now, this is very incredible. Very incredible. So, if you look at your life, and you say, okay, I've got this magnificent instrument. And I am living a life in which the divine, coordinating with my soul agreements that I made prior to coming into the body, that the events of my life will unfold to allow me to have the greatest awakening I can have in this embodiment. So whatever unfolds, take a look and say, oh, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to have an opportunity here to perhaps grow in a way that I never expected I would be asked to grow. But it's time for me to grow because this is unfolding right this minute in my life. These things don't happen. There are no accidents, darlings. Y'all know that. Everything happens in divine order. Everything. And when someone says, oh, it was just by chance, I go, no, 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 no. If you look at the intersection of any energy in your life, and you see everything that had to happen in a particular sequence of events for that moment to occur. You all know that, don't you? I mean, I revel in it. It's like reading the greatest mystery story in the whole planet. It's just the life we're living. And what are those intersections with individuals? Is it a moment, or is it for the rest of our lifetime? And what do we learn from these moments that these intersections are occurring all the time? And sometimes they're so fleeting that, happens to me, I'll go, oh, I missed that. Wait a minute, come back. You know, I want to rerun on that one. It just went by. I was already over here somewhere. I wasn't being mindful enough. I wasn't having my self-awareness on what was unfolding before me and around me. This is very significant in the lives that we're being asked to live, so that we live in that moment-to-moment awareness and allow what unfolds not to be judged, but to be that which we only, or not only, but that we appreciate and honor, and then we ask, what is the divine order of this for me? Usually there is some very poignant, very beautiful, and sometimes extremely important energy that is being given to us Now, every event that happens in our life is part of these soul agreements that we've made prior to coming into the body. And when someone says, now, how did you meet so-and-so? And I'll say, well, you see, I was over here, and then this person did this, and then that happened over there, and then you know the chain of events, and then suddenly you meet this person. And everyone said, oh, serendipitous, get a grip. I don't think so. Divine order has brought this energy together. Now, whether or not you take advantage of it is the level of your awareness in that given moment or moments. Because often, if you don't get it on the first go-round, the divine will graciously set up a whole other series of energies so that another will come. Another will come. And they might look different than the first one, but there they are. And you go, I think I better get this. This is a really important part, whatever it is, and I need to be present with that. Now, often, things will move by, and when I was on the road a lot, and I was on airplanes all the time, and I said to the divine, okay, tell me what this part is about. I know I have to get on the plane to go do the job over there, but what about the airplane thing? And the divine said, every person who sits beside you is very important. It is not by chance that they will be sitting beside you. You must pay attention and be totally present no matter what. And I went, that means I've got to work while I'm on the plane. But it's good work. So I said, all right. And sure enough, every aspect of humanity came and sat beside me on these airplanes. And this was years, a good 15 years I was on these airplanes. And they all had a story to tell. And they couldn't wait to tell their story. And they just wanted someone who would listen. And I thought, this isn't work. They're going to tell me a story that would be better than any book I could ever read. And so it was, that they would tell their story. You know, I tell you one sweet story. I get on the plane, and there's a young man sitting next to me, and you know, and it used to be back in the old days where you kind of dressed up to get on the airplane. It was kind of special, and you know, and he was young, and he was, you know, he had on a suit coat, and he looked really quite dapper. And, you know, the plane starts getting ready to take off, and I noticed that he was a little anxious. And, of course, the divine is so dear to tell me. And so I turned to him, and I said, is this the first time you've been on an airplane? He said, yes. I said, okay, I'm going to walk you through the takeoff. I said, you just hear that sound? The plane is not falling apart. It just means that the wheels are coming up and the flaps are going to close. And you're going to hear that. And you might actually feel it because these are little planes who are on a lot of the time. And he was just like, you know. I said, okay, now we're going to make this really smooth flight. We're going to just fly right up. It's just going to be so smooth. And I said, and you might feel it a little. You might feel some pressure, and you might have a little something in your ears, but it'll be fine. You know, it was wonderful. And we got to be great friends during our, you know, while we're like this. And then I said, okay, we're getting ready to descend. So this is going to be a little bit nerve-wracking for the first time because you're absolutely sure that something terrible could happen. And I said, actually, the worst part is over. I had a pilot tell me once that it's the takeoff that's the most dangerous. Oh, don't tell me that, please. Okay, but I didn't tell him that until the end. So here we are going into the descent, and you all know all the little sounds and noises and creaks and cracks and diddly-doo, and then the flaps open and the wheels come down, you know, and so on and so forth. And of course, he wouldn't dare look out the window. And I said, it's perfectly all right. You just look at me, and we're just going to take you through this until we land. Now, I think the divine pretty much does that for us. The divine is so exquisite in being able to take us into every situation where we might be fearful, or we might never have been there before. We might never have ever had the experience. But the divine will always very gently, beautifully, and I hope with great serenity, take us through so many of these life experiences. And as we then have those experiences, we can then hold others in their awakening, however that awakening will be. And I believe that we awaken in a very smooth and easy way that is the soul agreement that we've made as to how our awakening will occur. And you may have bursts of awakening, and then of course you have to integrate and bring it into your life. And life goes on. And the mundanity of life, and you say, did I just have a, and now I have to wash the dishes? Yes, that is true. Okay? You can have a, and then you have life. And you integrate. It takes forever how long it integrate to integrate, you integrate. And then you may say, well, I'm ready for another one. Whenever you're ready. This happened to a dear friend of ours. She's since passed on, and now she's laughing at this. She had a wonderful experience. She loved to work with plants, and what she did for a living was to go and, you know, water them and clean them and so on. She was on a ladder, and she was cleaning this extraordinary tree that was indoors, and the deva, you know about the devas? The devas, the plant devas, and animal devas. The plant deva appeared to her, and it freaked her out so badly she fell off the ladder. And, of course, the deva then went, goodbye. So she comes to me and says, Mary, I've had this experience, but it freaked me out so much I fell off the ladder and I never had a chance to talk to the deva. And I said, it's all right, honey. I said, just open your heart and bring the deva back within you, because the deva's within you. It was just there to show you that it was what it was, and it was in this beautiful tree. And so, you know, time would pass and she'd say, oh, you know, it's just not working. I'm just so frustrated. And I said, sweetie, you just have to let go. Because if you let go, then the energy can come. But if you're like this, in anticipation that the next moment is going to be the moment, it's not really going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to come when you're not expecting it most of the time. So it just taps you on the shoulder and says, hi, I'm here. So it did not happen. But she was still a happy camper, had a great life. Loved the plants loved her. She was one of the great Mother Earths on this planet. And in her passing, she had many beautiful experiences, and now she's on the inner, and she has her garden. She's doing what she loves to do, and all the devas are there, and they're having a lovely time. So, to honor that in the unexpected can come these very profound energies that probably you didn't even know that you were asking for. And every person that you meet is bringing you another aspect of who you really are. Really and truly, every single person. Yes. No matter how wounded they are, no matter what their situation is, every person. And why can that be so? Because if our hearts are open, who cannot enter our heart? Everyone can enter our heart. And allowing that to happen, the essence of who they are is what we really see. The costume makes no difference. Look at all the costumes that are in this room. Everybody chose a really interesting costume this time. Costumes aren't the deal, honeys. Mm-mm. It's the ability for us to open our hearts and to be able to experience the true energy that passes between ourselves and everyone else. And what a blessing it is that we have the consciousness to be able to receive and to give and to receive. How many of us were taught to be givers? Raise your hand. All right, taught to be givers. All right. I had to learn how to receive. I had not a clue as to how to do that. Shall we add a chair? Beg your pardon?
A.
Nope. I have no idea where A is. I'm sorry. You could sit in here. It might be helpful. I don't know. Yeah. So, bless our hearts. So, where was I?
You were talking about unexpected energy.
Unexpected energy, thank you. Yes, receiving. Thank you. Receiving,
givers.
Receiving. All right, thank you. Giving and receiving. All right. So, I was taught you have to give, 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 and receding, not okay. And then when I met a wonderful man, his name is Earl Patton, and he was giving lectures many years ago, and he said, giving and receiving are actually the same thing. And I went, giving and receiving are actually the same thing. Well, of course, I was just practicing the giving and the receiving as being equal during that period. So to hear that was so sweet, that the giving and the receiving are actually the same thing. Because if you are giving to another, you're also receiving within yourself. That's what happens. That's why we love to give. Now, because I hadn't been taught how to receive, I had to learn how to receive. And one of the things, someone would give me a compliment and I'd go, did they just give me a compliment? You know what I'm saying? That was my reaction. It wasn't to say, thank you. Gosh, I really appreciate that, or whatever I would say. I hadn't been taught how to do that. So I had to practice that. I had to practice when someone says, oh, I really enjoyed that. And I go, so happy you enjoyed that. You know? Thank you. It's wonderful. That giving and receiving is such a beautiful energy. And I call it that figure eight. You see, here's my heart. Do it with me. Okay. Here's my heart. And then here's the figure eight of his heart. And then right here, where it comes together, can everybody see? Mm-hmm. Here, and then there, and then here, and then there. That figure eight of energy is what passes as we're with any person. Any person. Yes. It doesn't make any difference who, what, how, when, where, and even if it's just for that split second. If in that moment you just, there it is. The completion of that figure eight in that energy. And it's so beautiful. And as you do that, you can do it with your dog, your cat, the birds. You can do it with your lovely trees. You can do it with your flowers. You can do it with Mother Earth. You can do it with anything and everything. But then in either visualizing or physically doing the gesture, you then bring it into the physical, you see? This is so important that we don't necessarily often bring it into the physical. Words will do, a touch will do, a look in the eye will do. You know, where we physically make that contact that's so beautiful. And with the figure eight comes a beautiful level of energy. And in the esoteric consciousness, the energy of the figure eight is very powerful, very powerful. And we'll talk about this next week, which is the transmuting violet flame that is between each end of the figure eight and how energetically that works. And first, we're going to do our spiritual practice, if we want to and if we love to do it. Secondly, we're going to appreciate our bodies and love them tremendously this week, if you want to. Number three, every person you meet, you'll meet with an open heart if you want to. And number four, if you're really into doing it, your whole day will be like this. Because when I walk in the morning and the birds are singing and I go, thank you, dear beloved winged ones, my fine feathered friends, my birds of a feather who flock together, thank you for your song. Thank you for the miracle of your flight that allows me to raise my vibration higher and higher and inspires me to grow in consciousness. And with these wings, I will higher and higher go. So the main difference, you can say whatever you want to say, but just your connection with everything that is in the world is so beautiful. So how does that feel?